घर बनवाना हो या पुराना घर नया करना हो, अरम होम बिल्डर्स एंड रेनोवेटर्स आपके साथ हैं। कस्टम होम बिल्ड, होम एडिशन, किचन और बाथरूम रेनोवेशन, बेसमेंट रेनोवेशन, पेंटिंग, टाइल्स और हार्डवुड फ्लोरिंग्स के लिए हर काम में महारत, मेयार और एतमाद। अभी कॉल कीजिए 416-841-5825 या विजिट कीजिए इनकी वेबसाइट aramrenovation.ca। अरम रेनोवेशन, ख्वाबों की तामीर एतमाद के साथ।
यू आर लिसनिंग टू WTUR 770 AM, यंगस्टाउन, टोरंटो।
Assalamu alaikum, how are you today? I hope you're doing well.
Stick around to be inspired.
This perspective, today our selection is from taken from the chapter 29 of the Quran, verses 1 to 7. Let's listen in as it's recited.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ألف لام ميم أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين أم حسب الذين يعملون السيئات أن يسبقونا ساء ما يحكمون من كان يرجو لقاء الله فإن أجل الله لآت وهو السميع العليم ومن جاهد فإنما يجاهد لنفسه إن الله لغني عن العالمين والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لنكفرن عنهم سيئاتهم ولنجزينهم أحسن الذي كانوا يعملون.
Those are the verses from chapter 29 of the Quran, verses 1 to 7. Listeners, this is your host, Alim Ali, and Ramadan was completed on Thursday, and yesterday was Eid, so Eid Mubarak to everyone. And now to the translation of these verses. It says, in the name of God, the most compassionate, most merciful. Alif Lam Mim. Do people think once they say we believe that they will be left without being put to the test? We certainly tested those before them, and in this way, God will clearly distinguish between those who are truthful and those who are liars. Or do the evildoers simply think that they will escape God? How wrong is their judgment? Whoever hopes for the meeting with God, let them know that God God's appointed time is sure to come. He is the all-hearing, all-knowing, and whoever strives in God's cause only does so for their own good. Surely God is not in need of any of His creation. As for those who believe and do good, we will certainly absolve them of their sins and reward them according to the best of what they used to do. Now, these verses are understood by the classical Quranic exegesis, the tafsirs, tradition as addressing the reality of trials in faith. As we know, life can give us all sorts of tests or challenges or ups and downs. So these verses seem to address that in regards to the context of faith. The Mufassirs, or the people who have studied the Quran and explained it, they often link these verses to the spiritual qualities of patience, perseverance, and sincerity. And it's very suitable to reflect upon these with respect to the context of the month of Ramadan, which we just passed and experienced. So when we look at the verses 1 and 2, it clearly says, do people think once they say we believe that they will be left without being put to the test? The classical commentators such as Ibn Kathir, Al-Tabari, and Al-Qurtubi explain that these verses declare a fundamental principle. People will not be left to claim faith without being tested. According to these scholars, tests reveal the difference between sincere belief and mere verbal claim. The early Muslims in Mecca experienced persecution, which served as the immediate context of this verse. And in terms of the insight into the verse, trials are not punishment. They purify faith and expose hypocrisy. When we look at verse 3, we certainly tested those before them, and in this way, God will surely distinguish between those who are truthful and those who are liars. When we look at it in terms of the scholars, they stress that testing believers is part of the universal divine pattern. Previous communities were also tested. For example, At-Tabari explains that God already knows the truthful, but tests manifest their sincerity in the world. So the key idea is that tests bring hidden realities into the open. We look at verse 4, or do the evildoers simply think they will escape us, meaning God? How wrong is their judgment? Commentators like Ibn Kathir explain that those who commit evil while assuming they will escape divine justice are mistaken. This verse warns against the arrogance of those who believe worldly power or deception can shield them from accountability. We look to verse 5. Whoever hopes for the meeting with God, let them know that God's appointed time is sure to come. He is the all-hearing, the all-knowing. And here we see the verse encourages believers who struggle because they struggle through their trials by reminding them of the promise of meeting God. Classical scholars interpret this as reassurance that divine reward and justice are certain, even if suffering occurs in this life. We look to now verse 6, and whoever strives in God's cause only does so for their own good. Surely God is not in need of any of His creation. The verse clarifies a key theological point emphasized by Al-Qurtubi. Whoever strives does so only for their own good, for his or her own soul. God is independent of human worship. The benefit of faith, patience, and struggle returns entirely to the believer. We look at verse 7. As for those who believe and do good, we will certainly absolve them of their sins and reward them according to the best of what they used to do. The classical tafsir notes that this verse promises forgiveness and elevation of good deeds for those who believe and act righteously. Many scholars link this to the Quranic principle that repentance and righteous actions can wipe away previous sins. Now let's see how this is connected to Ramadan. These verses resonate deeply with the spiritual lessons of Ramadan. Ramadan is a test of faith. Fasting itself reflects the principle of verse 2. That is, do people think once they say we believe that they will be left without being put to the test? As fasting deals, we experience hunger, thirst, restraint from desires, discipline in speech and conduct. All tests whether faith is genuine or merely professed. Ramadan builds patience. The trials mentioned in these verses mirror the inner struggle during Ramadan. Controlling anger, maintaining prayer and charity, resisting temptation. Classical scholars often connect fasting with the development of patience, with which these verses highlight as necessary for true belief. Striving is for our own benefit. When we look at verse 6, and whoever strives in God's cause only does so for their own good. Here it aligns perfectly with Ramadan's message. Fasting does not benefit God. It transforms the believer. As many scholars say, Ramadan is a spiritual training for the soul. When we look to verse 7, as for those who believe and do good, we will certainly absolve them of their sins and reward them according to the best of what they used to do. Verse 7 echoes the Ramadan promise that sincere worship leads to forgiveness and multiplied reward. In the context of Ramadan, these verses are very appropriate. The verses emphasize testing of faith, patience and perseverance, sincere striving, and hope in divine mercy. All of these are core spiritual lessons that Ramadan is meant to cultivate. So let's now say Al-Wida Ya Ramadan.
Al-Wida, Al-Wida, Ya السلام عليك يا شهر رمضان
الوداع
and we hope to take forward the lessons of Ramadan for at least till next Ramadan if God gives us that gift of Ramadan. Let's look at some of the context of the revelation of these verses that we highlighted at the top of the program, chapters 29, verses 1 to 7, in terms of the context in which it was revealed. These verses were revealed during the early years of Islam in Mecca. At that time, the early followers of Muhammad, peace and blessings of God be with him, faced severe pressure from the Quraysh leadership. The persecution included social boycotts, torture of weaker believers, family separation, threats and intimidation, economic isolation. Because of this, some people wondered whether simply declaring faith should lead to such suffering. The Quran responded with a fundamental spiritual principle: faith will always be tested. Some of the classical reports mention that companions such as Amr ibn Yasir and his family, his parents Yasir ibn Amr and Sumayyah bint Khayyat, were tortured for accepting the message of the Prophet, of the oneness of God and the messengership of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of God be with him. Sumayyah is widely remembered as one of the earliest martyrs in Islam. These experiences reflected the reality that belief came with sacrifice and endurance. The historical context strengthens the spiritual message we reflect on during Ramadan. The early Muslims endured major external trials, while Ramadan trains believers through internal discipline. Both teach the same virtues: patience, perseverance, sincerity in worship, reliance on God. Ramadan becomes a spiritual training ground, preparing believers to face the broader tests of life. When we look at the overall message of the chapter 29, verses 1 to 7, it's timeless. Faith is not measured by words alone, but by steadfastness when tested. Ramadan helps cultivate exactly that resilience. Let's listen to an old classic, Alwida Mahi Ramzan by Rashida Khatun.
Alvida, alvida.
Rashida Khatoon, and she sings an old classic, Alvida Mahi Ramadan, that is, farewell Ramadan. As we reflect on the spiritual journey of Ramadan, it is helpful to return to the passage of the Quran that speaks directly about the nature of faith, struggle, and resilience. Faith or belief is not merely a declaration of the tongue. It is a commitment that is tested, refined, and strengthened through life's challenges. The chapter begins with a powerful question. Do people think they will be left to say, "We believe," and they will not be tested? The scholars have, including At-Tabari, Ibn Kathir, and Al-Qurtubi, explained that these verses establish a universal principle. Faith inevitably comes with trials. The Quran reminds us that believers of earlier generations were also tested, so that the sincerity of their faith would become evident. These verses were revealed during the early years of Muhammad ﷺ's mission and message delivery in Mecca in Arabia, when his followers faced intense pressure from the leaders of Quraysh. Early Muslims endured social boycotts, economic hardship, family separation, and in some cases brutal torture. As we mentioned, among those who suffered were Amr ibn Yasir and his parents. His mother Sumaya is remembered in Islamic history as one of the earliest martyrs. May God accept and elevate them to the highest station in paradise. Their story illustrates the reality behind these verses. Faith sometimes requires immense courage and endurance. God in the Quran therefore makes something clear from the outset. Tests are not a sign that faith has failed. Rather, they are often the means through which faith is strengthened and purified. This message connects beautifully with the experience of Ramadan. During this sacred month, believers undergo a form of spiritual training. From dawn to sunset, we abstain from food and drink. We restrain our desires, we guard our speech, and we devote more time to prayer and reflection. In this way, Ramadan becomes a living demonstration of what these verses teach. It is a test of sincerity. It is easy to say we believe, but fasting quietly when no one else sees our struggle with hunger or thirst reminds us that faith is ultimately between ourselves and our Creator. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, highlighted this discipline in a well-known hadith narrated by Abu Huraira and recorded in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. He said that fasting is a shield. When a fasting person is provoked, he or she simply should say, "I am fasting." This guidance teaches us that fasting is not only about abstaining from food, it is about mastering our reactions, our anger, and our impulses. For this reason, scholars often describe Ramadan as a school of patience. Another prophetic teaching tells us that fasting represents half of patience. A hadith found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, classical scholars explain that patience in Islam appears in three forms: patience in obeying God, patience in avoiding wrongdoing, and patience in enduring hardship. Fasting remarkably combines all three. We patiently perform acts of worship, we patiently restrain ourselves from temptation, and we patiently endure hunger and fatigue. Through this process, the believer's character is refined. This is precisely the kind of spiritual growth described in the opening verses of this chapter. The Quran, or God, tells us in the Quran that tests reveal what lies within the heart. Just as gold is purified by fire, faith becomes stronger through perseverance. Another powerful verse in this passage reminds us of an important truth. Whoever strives does so only for his or her own benefit. Indeed, God is independent of all creation. The message is profound. Our worship does not benefit God, it benefits us. The discipline of fasting strengthens our self-control. Prayer nourishes the heart. Charity purifies our wealth. And remembrance of God brings inner peace. Ramadan, therefore, is not a burden placed upon us. It is a gift that transforms us. And the passage concludes with a promise of hope. Those who believe and do righteous deeds will have their sins removed, and they will be rewarded according to the best of what they used to do. You know, as human beings, we will always make mistakes and mess up, but the door of repentance is always open to God. We take one step and He runs towards us. This promise echoes the well-known teaching of the Prophet, peace and blessings of God be with him, that whoever fasts Ramadan with faith and sincerity will have their previous sins forgiven. So Ramadan combines two powerful dimensions. It tests us, but it also renews us. Later in the same chapter, chapter 29, God introduces a striking metaphor. It compares those who rely on false sources of security to a spider building its house. At first glance, a spider's web may seem intricate and impressive, but it is fragile and easily destroyed. God in the Quran uses this image to remind us that worldly power, wealth, or status can be just as fragile when they are not grounded in truth. The early Muslims who endured persecution in Mecca, Arabia, appeared weak in the eyes of society, yet their faith proved stronger than the seemingly powerful structures around them. History ultimately confirmed this lesson. For us today, the message remains deeply relevant. Every generation faces its own tests, whether personal struggles, social challenges, moral pressures, etc. The opening verse of this chapter, chapter 29, reminds us that trials are part of the journey of faith. But they also remind us that perseverance brings spiritual growth and divine reward. Ramadan trains us for precisely this purpose. It cultivates patience, discipline, sincerity, and resilience. If the lessons of Ramadan remain with us beyond the month, if we carry forward its spirit of compassion, generosity, and self-control, then we will leave Ramadan not only forgiven, but strengthened. In that sense, Ramadan is not merely a month that passes through our calendar. It is a spiritual workshop that prepares us for the challenges of life. And God's message in the Quran is clear. Faith is not measured by words alone. It is measured by steadfastness when we are tested. May the lessons of Ramadan continue to guide us, and may we emerge from this sacred season with stronger faith, deeper patience, and greater compassion for one another.
الوداع الوداع يا رمضان السلام عليك يا شهر رمضان
الوداع الوداع يا رمضان السلام
السلام عليك يا شهر رمضان
الوداع
to the month of Ramadan. As we know that Ramadan is a workshop, is a school for teaching us how to manage challenges in our life through faith. The messages that God, the guidance that God leaves us to humanity in the Quran is both good news and a warning. And we have seen that Ramadan, if we have experienced it in the proper manner, teaches us that the end of hope, the end is hope and good news, eternal reward, peaceful living in this life, and eternal reward in God's paradise. Let's now deal with a bit of the opposite, that is, of warnings. And we looked at the character of Pharaoh in Egypt. This ruler opposed the messenger of God, Moses, and is portrayed as a symbol of tyranny, arrogance, and rebellion against God. His sins are described across several chapters, including Quranic chapters such as Al-Qasas, Al-Araf, Surah Taha, Yunus, Ash-Shuara. The Quran highlights a number of specific moral and spiritual crimes. And let's examine some of the main sins attributed to Pharaoh. One, claiming divinity, that is arrogance and self-deification. Pharaoh elevated himself above human limits and claimed divine authority. In Surah An-Naziat, chapter 79, verse 24, he said, "I am your Lord, the Most High." In Surah Al-Qasas, chapter 28, verse 38, he told his people he knew no God other than himself. This represents the ultimate arrogance and a form of shirk, associating partners with God, because he placed himself in the position of the divine. Oppression and tyranny. Pharaoh ruled through cruelty and oppression. In Surah Al-Qasas, chapter 28, verse 4, he describes how he divided the people into factions and oppressed a group among them. He abused political power to dominate and control society unjustly. 3. The persecution of the children of Israel. Pharaoh violently targeted the followers of Moses. The Quran repeatedly states that he killed their sons and spared their women. Example, Surah Al-Qasas, chapter 28, verse 4. This policy of killing male infants was meant to weaken and control the community of the children of Israel. 4. Rejecting clear signs from God. When Moses brought miracles and divine messages, Pharaoh rejected them. Examples include the staff turning into a serpent, the shining hand, other signs sent by God. Despite witnessing these signs, Pharaoh accused Moses of sorcery and deception. 5. Corruption and misleading his people. Pharaoh did not only reject truth himself, he actively led others into error. In Surah Az-Zukhruf, chapter 43, verse 54, he says, "He misled his people and they obeyed him." This highlights the moral responsibility of leaders who use influence to guide people away from the truth. And plotting to kill a prophet, Pharaoh repeatedly threatened and attempted to kill Moses and those who believed with him. His regime punish believers and try to eliminate the prophetic message. He had stubbornness until the moment of death. When the sea closed over him during the Exodus, Pharaoh finally declared belief. But God in the Quran tells us It says repentance at that final moment has not been accepted, because it only came when punishment became inevitable, in Surah Yunus chapter 10 verse 90 and 91. So in summary, Pharaoh's sins in the Quran represents a pattern of arrogance and claiming divinity, tyranny and oppression, persecution of a people, rejection of divine guidance, misleading society, violence against believers, delayed repentance. Because of this, Pharaoh becomes in the Quran a timeless symbol of corrupt power and moral arrogance. So does that remind us of anything that's happening today? Let's listen to MC Abdul as he reflects on what is occurring in his homeland of Palestine.
I'm exhausted. Last night I couldn't sleep, but when I did, I could hear bombs in my dreams. Nightmare situation. How could they be so evil? Making murders out of children and innocent people. We expect the bombs, not knowing where next. Huddle in the corner of my room, trying to protect my little brother as the building shakes like it's possessed. But nothing stronger than the will of the oppressed. I bomb back with my lyrics and rhymes, living the times, trying to break the Palestinian mind. What's hiding in the clouds hanging over my head? My dad risks his life outside to buy bread. The fourth war in my 12th year at this stage. I'm numb, no, I haven't feel scared. There's nothing I can do in this case to stay safe. I'm brave, even though this house could be in my grave. I want freedom for the population. 2 million prisoners living in this location. Shouting at the wall, but nothing is ever changing. That's life under an occupation. I want freedom for the population. 2 million prisoners living in this location. Shouting at the wall, but nothing is ever changing. That's life under an occupation. Mothers mourn, fighting with grief. White sheets covered by his death. Lie on the streets, buildings turn to ash. But my mind is made of steel, so it doesn't take much for me to heal. Won't lose the will to live or lose our minds. My auntie lost her home, so she lost her life. But she's still alive, but traumatized by the bombs that flew in and dropped that night. My sister couldn't sleep, tried to stop her cries. I said it was fireworks, I was telling her lies. Where's the compassion? This is heartless. It's like they want us all living in darkness. Cutting off water and electricity for hours. They're knocking towers, but that's not knocking the power that I have in my pen. When I'm writing, I'm unstoppable. The microphone is the only escape possible, cause that's the way that I can speak my mind. I wonder how does the fighter pilot sleep at night, knowing he can turn the city upside down all of a sudden. Slaughtering families with the push of a button. I want freedom for the population. 2 million prisoners living in this location. Shouting at the wall, but nothing is ever changing. Death, life under an occupation. I want freedom for the population. 2 million prisoners living in this location. Shouting at the wall, but nothing is ever changing. Death, life under an occupation.
And that Rick records his lyrics to reflect the agony and pain that the Palestinians are suffering, and that those lyrics can also be attributed to the Rohingya in Myanmar, the Uyghur in China, and the Sudanese, and so many others all over the world. The Quran also presents several personalities who, like Pharaoh, symbolized arrogance, oppression, rejection of divine guidance, or abuse of power. These figures often used as moral examples of how pride and injustice lead to downfall. Let's examine some of the notable ones. The Quran mentions Karun. He represents arrogance born of wealth. It's mentioned in Surah Al-Qasas, chapter 28, verse 76 to 82. He was extremely wealthy and became arrogant, claiming his success was due solely to his own knowledge and ability. He refused to acknowledge God's blessings and ignored advice to remain humble. The outcome? The Quran states that God caused the earth to swallow him and his wealth. Lesson: wealth without humility can lead to spiritual ruin. Then there is Haman. Haman was one of the chief supporters of Pharaoh, mentioned alongside Pharaoh in several verses. He's portrayed as a powerful official who helped Pharaoh maintain his tyranny. Pharaoh ordered him to build a lofty structure in an attempt to challenge the message brought by Moses. The lesson? Those who enable oppression share responsibility for it. Then there is Abu Lahab. He represents stubborn hostility to faith. He is mentioned in chapter 111 of the Quran, Surah Al-Masad. He fiercely opposed the message of Muhammad, peace and blessings of God be with him, despite being his uncle. Lesson: family ties or social status do not guarantee righteousness. There's Iblis. Iblis represents arrogance and rebellion against God. When God commanded to bow to Adam, he refused out of pride. He claimed superiority, you know, like the chosen one. The chosen because, you know, he was created from fire, while Adam was created from dirt or clay. Lesson: pride and envy can lead to spiritual downfall. Then there is Namrud. Although not named directly in the Quran, classical tafsir identifies him as the king who argued with Abraham in Surah 2, verse 258. He arrogantly claimed he could give life and cause death. He challenged God's authority. Lesson: power can lead to delusion if it is not grounded in humility before God. So a pattern emerges in the Quran. These figures represent different forms of corruption. Pharaoh represented tyranny and political oppression. Karun, arrogance from wealth. Haman, enabling injustice. Abu Lahab, stubborn rejection of truth. Iblis, pride and rebellion. Nimrod, delusion of power. Together, they form moral archetypes, showing how different human weaknesses, power, wealth, pride and stubbornness can lead people away from God. Let's listen to Ashik Rasool as they sing "Hear My Cry."
Why can you not see? Why can you not feel my cries as they flow through my tears? I still have nothing, no future, no more. My family, my home, they've taken it all, yeah. Do I break down while I hear people coming in love? Nowhere to breathe. Why? What makes you want?
Hear My Cry by Ashiq Rasool. Now, to continue with this theme, Allah in the Quran makes a very striking connection when it groups three of these figures together: Pharaoh, Hammam, and Karun. This occurs in the 29th chapter, verse 39. It says, "And we destroyed Karun, Pharaoh, and Hammam. And indeed Moses came to them with clear proofs. But they behave arrogantly in the land, yet they could not escape God's punishment." Here, God deliberately, in the Quran that is, places these three personalities side by side. The classical scholarly interpretation, such as given by Ibn Kathir, Al-Tabari, and Al-Qurtubi, note that these three figures represent three pillars of corruption in society. One, political tyranny. Pharaoh. Pharaoh represents absolute political power abuse. He ruled through fear and oppression. He enslaved and persecuted. He claimed divine authority. He's the symbol of corruption of political authority. And then we look to Hammam. Hammam represents the bureaucratic machinery that enables tyranny. He carried out Pharaoh's orders. He helped maintain the regime. Without people like him, tyranny cannot function. So he represents symbolically the corruption of institutional or administrative power. Three, Karun. Karun represents arrogant wealth. His riches made him arrogant. He attributed his success only to himself. He supported the social structure of oppression. So he was a symbolic figure for corruption of economic power. The deeper lessons. Scholars often point out that these three figures together illustrate how oppression becomes entrenched in society. A corrupt system usually rests on political tyranny, administrative machinery, and economic elites. When these three forces cooperate, injustice becomes deeply rooted. The moral reflection in the Quran. God shows us in the Quran that even when these powers seem invincible, they ultimately failed. Pharaoh was drowned. Karun was swallowed by the earth. Hammam perished with Pharaoh's regime. God's message in the Quran is that arrogance, injustice, and abuse of power cannot ultimately prevail.
But I know one day you will realize it's the mercies of God that has kept us alive. We will sing a new song for justice, and we will go through. You've got to focus your eyes on the prize. If you slip, you will slide, and from God you can't hide. We will sing a new song for justice, and we will go through. And if you don't have no love in your heart, then we'll have to depart. But you need love to start to sing a new song for justice, for peace to go through. And although it can bite me down, I get stronger and stronger. I'm always around. I'm rooted and ground for justice. Still I go through.
Justice, one of the key objectives of Islam is to bring fairness to people, to be just, not even in terms of cheating people on weights when you go to buy in the marketplace. If you order a pound or a kilo of something, it should be exactly a pound or a kilo. not put their thumbs on the scale, so to speak. The classical scholars of the Quran often point out that three figures in the Quran illustrate three different sources of arrogance that can corrupt human beings. These are Iblis, Pharaoh, and Karun. Scholars such as Ibn Kathir and Al-Ghazali note that each of represents a different form of pride that leads to spiritual ruin. Iblis was the arrogance of status or origin. When God commanded the angels to bow to Adam, Iblis refused. He said he was better than Adam because he was created from fire, while Adam was created from clay. Quran chapter 7 verse 12. Type of arrogance, pride in status, race or origin. Feeling superior because of what one is. Lessons, superiority complexes and prejudice can lead to a person away from obedience to God. Chosen people. Arrogance of power, Pharaoh. Pharaoh represents the arrogance that comes from political authority and control. He declared in chapter 79, verse 24, I am your Lord, the Most High. That type of arrogance, pride in power and authority, believing that dominance over people makes one supreme. Listen here. Political or social power can corrupt when it is not tempered with humility and justice. Reminds you of anyone? Arrogance of wealth, Karun. Karun was given immense wealth but became arrogant. He said, I was given it only because of knowledge I possess. Quran chapter 28 verse 78. This type of arrogance, pride in wealth and success. Believing prosperity comes purely from one's own ability. Lesson, wealth can lead to arrogance if one forgets gratitude and responsibility. The oligarchy? A powerful moral framework. Many scholars summarize these three figures as representing the three major temptations of human life. Iblis, what he represents, arrogance of identity or origin. Pharaoh, arrogance of power and authority. Karun, arrogance of wealth and material success. Together they show how ego can manifest in different ways, but all lead to the same danger, rebellion against truth. So these parallels in the Quran teaches us about the cycle with which human existence occurs. These trials, these sort of prototypes of human behavior can be seen in every era, and as we see today displayed in our front of our eyes. In the background there, I want to say peace out, and until next week I leave you again with the words of Mohiuddin Chisti, his last words as it is read by Sheikh Hamza Yusuf. He was an awliya, a friend of God. Mohiuddin Chisti, as read by Sheikh Hamza Yusuf.
One of the greatest saints of our history was a great saint named Mohiuddin Chisti, and the last talk that he gave to his students is how I'd like to talk to you, because I don't think I could do anything better than Mohiuddin Chisti. He said to his students as he was departing the world, love all and hate none. Mere talk of peace will avail you not. Mere talk of God and religion will not take you far. Bring out all the latent powers of your being and reveal the full magnificence of your immortal self. Be overflowing with peace and joy and scatter them wherever you go, wherever you are. Be a blazing fire of truth. Be a beauteous blossom of love and be a soothing balm of peace. With your spiritual light, dispel the darkness of ignorance. Dissolve the clouds of discord and war and spread goodwill, peace, and harmony among the people. Never seek any help, charity, or favors from anybody except God. Do not go to the courts of kings, but never refuse to bless and help the needy and the poor, the widow and the orphan, if they come to your door. This is your mission, to serve the people. Carry it out dutifully and courageously, so that I, as your teacher, will not be ashamed of any shortcomings on your part before Almighty God and our blessed predecessors in this silsila on the Day of Judgment. Alhamdulillah.
Listening to WTOR 770 AM, Youngstown, Toronto.
Truck servicing kete vich Ontario da Mohrina Quick Truck Lube. Tusi ek truck chalone ja fleet hegi je. Tuhada time value rakhda. Appointment bhi load nahi. First come, first served. State of the art facility. Trained technicians rahi. Best high grade oils, filters, engine di jaan vadaunde.